السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To all our listeners, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله, my respected listeners, really the Sahaba of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, their lives are so special, and every Sahabi there's so much to learn from. Like the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, wherein Allah's Nabi says صلى الله عليه وسلم, every Sahabi, when you follow him, he will take you to the to your destination. Ashabi kan nujum bi ayyihim, my Sahaba radiyallahu anhum are these shining stars. Whichever of them you follow, you will definitely be rightly guided. So that the lives of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum are so full of lessons, so full of lessons. The Sahabi we learn about is Al-Miqdad. Al-Miqdad ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His full name was Al-Miqdad ibn Amr ibn Sa'labah ibn Malik ibn Rabi'ah ibn Thumama ibn Matrud ibn Amr ibn Sa'ad, and it carries on. The Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his father was Amr. The Sahabi is known as Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Not actually bin Amr. Why was he known as Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad? It's because his father came from a tribe called Buhra. So what happened was, because of, in the times of Jahiliyyah, in the times of the past, he had to leave his region because of some blood. He had killed someone. So what happened was, he actually then fled from there and went to Hadramaut, and he resided there. And there he got married to a woman from Hadramaut, and Allah blessed him with a son called Al-Miqdad. Now his father had great traits, and so Miqdad learned those traits from his father. He was a very, very tall man. He was big in size. He was brown in color. He was actually dark brown in color. And his body was huge and powerful. He was a man of determination and firm resolve. Now Miqdad, in Hadramaut, which is a city in Yemen, there was some trouble there, because one of the elderly, or one of the people there spoke to him very, very harshly. And this upset Miqdad. So Miqdad could not tolerate arrogance from this person, because he was a very, very straight person. And then there was a big fight between him and this person, so then he had to leave Yemen as well. Now, he went to Makkah. But actually, Allah was choosing for him what was best. Because Allah guided him to go to Makkah, Makkah Mukarramah. Now when he got to Makkah, he realized that the society was very difficult. You would only be able to live safely and peacefully if you live under the care of a senior or an elder who can actually give you protection. So now he has to come into some other family. So that's when Miqdad actually went into the allegiance of a man by the name of Aswad. Aswad ibn Yaghuth was a very senior Meccan Qurashi. Miqdad went into a allegiance with him, and that's how Miqdad then got into the society. But still, he found, you know, injustice, and he found a lot of inequities in that society that upset him. But this master of his that he actually went into allegiance with, Al-Aswad ibn Yaghuth, loved him very much, because he saw his traits of bravery and character and integrity. So one day he marches to the Kaaba with Miqdad next to him, and he announces in front of one and all that, I have adopted Miqdad. He is now my son. That's when he became known as Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad. Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad. But actually he was not Aswad's son. He was just adopted by Aswad. And this was a practice in Jahiliyyah that was common. That if you adopted one, you could actually take his name. But Miqdad didn't like this society. And he heard from the environment there, that there were whispers that the final Nabi of Allah is to come. And sometimes the Jews would come and they would also whisper these sentiments and these teachings. And then Miqdad would await for this time, because he was upset with the waywardness in the society. And Allah sent his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as Miqdad heard of this, he rushed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He put his hand in Allah's Nabi's hand and he bore the testimony of truth. Then he goes to the gathering of Quraysh by the Kaaba and he announces in front of all, ala mala, in front of all of them, that I am a Muslim, I have accepted Islam, and he recites the Shahada in front of them. That makes Miqdad radiallahu anhu one of the early Muslims. To be precise, he was the seventh person to embrace Islam. That's how early he embraced Islam. And now whenever anyone embraced Islam, there was a lot of challenges to go through, and there was a lot of sacrifices to make. But Miqdad radiallahu anhu went through all of that. They put so much of torture on the Muslims, torture that could actually crumble a mountain. But Miqdad radiallahu anhu did not give in, did not waver, did not surrender. And these punishments and tortures only made him more firm in his deen and iman. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhum to migrate to Medina Munawwara, Miqdad was under imprisonment and confinement. They didn't allow him to leave. That was what a senior person, Miqdad radiallahu anhu, was. They refused his departure. Miqdad radiallahu anhu actually had to migrate with some plan. That there was one occasion, and also he migrated to Abyssinia, and then he returned to Makkah Mukarramah. But from Makkah, they kept him in confinement. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, he was amongst the last to migrate. Now, Miqdad radiallahu anhu was kept in imprisonment. So there was an expedition where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a platoon, and the mushrikeen had sent Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl, and Miqdad and Utwa bin Ghazwan radiallahu anhum. These two joined the platoon of the mushrikeen as though they were joining them to fight against the Muslims. But as soon as they reached the Muslims on the battleground, these two, there was no fight at the end of the day, but these two then ran to the side of the Muslims and joined the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And that's how they made their way to Hijrah, through a plan and through a trick. Because Miqdad was not, he was not left. They knew his value and they wanted him to stay in Makkah Mukarramah. And like this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went through so much of trouble and so much of difficulties. Miqdad radiallahu anhu says, when we were in Medina Munawwara, there was one stage where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put us in groups of tens. And there, 10 would stay together. So he said, I was very fortunate. I was in that group of 10 that stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family had 3 goats that they would actually milk and distribute the milk amongst this 10 of us. And then we would also keep the share of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was many a time busy on tasks and visiting the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, services of deen, services of mankind. So one night, myself and 2 friends of mine, we were really very, very hungry. We had actually experienced the pangs of hunger. And then we had our share of milk that was very little, because it had to be distributed amongst all of us. And that little that I drank was not sufficient for me. And then that night, now my 2 friends, they slept away. I was too hungry, I couldn't sleep. That sip or couple of sips of milk was not sufficient. Then I'm getting some feelings in my heart. Hey, what about that little gulp or that little few sips left that was kept for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need it. He said, I'm thinking this in my mind. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't need it. Why don't I have it? Then I actually left that thought. Then again that thought came. Then I said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's so close to Allah. Allah will make a plan for him. And the Ansar will arrange something for him. Let me have it. I am finished. He goes there and the little bowl, whatever was left, and kept for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Miqdad radiallahu anhu, now drank it up. He said, I went back onto my bedding and now I'm getting really regretful. But what did you do to yourself, Miqdad? Allah's Nabi will come and one statement against you, you'll be destroyed. He says, it was a bitterly cold night. And now that blanket of mine, even if I had to place it on my head, my feet would get exposed. And if I covered my feet, my head would get exposed. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come in at night, he would greet in such a way that those awake could hear and those asleep would never get disturbed. That was his akhlaq. It was a very, very, moderated, perfect greeting of salam. And let's also learn this, my respected listeners. It doesn't mean we come in somewhere late at night and people are sleeping and we greet loudly. No, we should learn the lesson from the akhlaq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make such a salam, يُسْمِعُ الْيَقْضَانَ وَلَا يُوْقِذُ النَّائِمَةِ. Those that were awake could hear him. And those that were asleep would never get disturbed. This is akhlaq. He says, not long after that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived. And then he came in, he greeted in his manner, a soft way, that I heard him because I was awake, the others were asleep. And then he performed, salah, his tahajjud, his nawafil, for a long time. And then I was watching him from under my blanket. And then after that, he went towards his bowl and he found nothing there. And he raised his hand. And I thought, he's going to make dua against me. But Allah's Nabi made dua. Allahumma at'im man at'amani wasqi man saqani. Oh my Allah, you feed the one who feeds me. And you quench the one who quenches me. He said, I got out of my bed. I said, what a dua. I'm going to feed Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I stealthily sneaked out of my place. I took my knife and I went and I said, I'm going to slaughter one of those goats. Those three goats there. Whatever happens after that, I don't care, but I'm going to slaughter one of them. He said, I went near there and I felt them, and the one that was fattest, I realized, I looked at the others. It was full of milk. Even though it was just milk not long ago, but it was filled again. That was really barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I took a utensil, I milked it until it was filled and it was full of the foam on top of it, and I brought it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he drank. Then he gave me, so I drank. Then I gave it to him again, and he drank again. Then he gave it to me, then I drank again. So we kept on drinking. Then he smiled and he said to him, Miqdad, this is one of your efforts, eh? This is one of your efforts. Why are you laughing like that? So then I told him of the entire story. So he said that, oh Miqdad, this was Allah's rahmah, that Allah Ta'ala filled the milk inside there. This was Allah's rahmah. And then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Miqdad, why you don't call your two saatis? Let them also enjoy this milk like we're also enjoying it. There's a lot of barakat in it. So I said to him, oh Nabi of Allah, I take oath by Allah. As long as you have milk and you're comfortable, and I have milk after you, I don't care whoever else drinks. Anyway, this was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's relationship with his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. It was a relationship of love. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum could open their hearts to him and be open with him and talk to him from their heart and tell him what they feel. This was really an amazing relationship between Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Miqdad radiallahu anhum gave his life for Allah's deen. It was in Madinah Munawwara that one day Miqdad radiallahu anhu hadn't yet married. And one day when he was sitting with Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu says to him, Miqdad, why don't you get married? So Miqdad radiallahu anhu says, oh Abdurrahman, if you can give me your daughter, that can solve everything. Abdurrahman says, I will give you my daughter. So, and I don't mean that. I'm saying, find yourself a wife and a spouse and propose. But Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu said, no, I won't be able to give you my daughter. So this actually hurt Miqdad. And he felt, how come? What's the reason? Is it because I don't come from your tribe? He didn't say that, but these feelings went through his heart. And he thought to himself, doesn't Islam make us equal and made the most honored before Allah the one who has most taqwa? And Miqdad radiallahu goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentions to him, O Nabi of Allah, this is how I felt and this is what Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu told me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what if I get you married in my family, O Miqdad? Miqdad could not even believe the words. And he said, indeed, O Nabi of Allah, but how can I ever be honored with such a nobility? Allah's Nabi said, I will arrange it for you. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got Miqdad radiallahu married to his cousin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was Abdullah. A brother of Abdullah was Az-Zubayr. Not Zubayr bin Awam, Zubayr bin Abdul Muttalib, Abdul Muttalib's son. That's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle. Like Zubayr, Abu Talib, Hamza, Abbas radiallahu anhumah, they are brothers. Zubayr is one of their brothers. And Zubayr had a daughter by the name of Tuba'a. Tuba'a. And now, Miqdad radiallahu anhu is getting married to Tuba'a radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Look at that nobility and that honor. And look at the beauty of Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranges for him from Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family. Really, this was the love of deen, and this was the equality among Sahaba. They looked at akhlaq when getting others married. Akhlaq and character was looked at, not other things. Allah forgive us that we look at in society, wealth and specific tribes and so forth. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum looked at akhlaq. That was their level of akhlaq and character. That was their level of iman. Abu Rashid Habrani says, I came to Miqdad radiallahu anhu. And we were in Hims, and he was sitting on one box, and he was so big and old at that time. So I'm asking him, Hazrat, you're waiting here, and you're so old. At that time, Miqdad radiallahu anhu was 70 years old, and his body had become so big, and he was sitting there. So I asked him, what are you doing here, O Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, I'm waiting for my tashkil to be made. Antadiru khuruj al-ghuzat ila al-fughur. The mujahideen are going in Allah's path. I'm waiting for the tashkil, which direction, and I'm going with them. So I said to him, please, Hazrat, go home. Allah has excused you. Your age is so advanced. He said, oh my son, oh my beloved child, not so. Quran refuses that. لَقَدْ أَبَتْ عَلَيْنَا سُورَةُ الْبُعُوثِ Surah Al-Anfal and Surah Al-Tawbah, where Allah informed us to strive for Allah's deen, young and old, heavy and light. This surah and these ayat refute what you're saying, my son. It refuses me to go home and sit down. And then, Miqdad radiallahu anhu lived his life like this, my respected listeners. How he lived his life for Allah Ta'ala's sake. It was an amazing incident where one day Miqdad radiallahu anhu was sitting with his companions.
One man actually made a statement
and said, how fortunate are these eyes of yours, Miqdad? How we wish we also saw what you saw and heard what you heard. So Miqdad radiallahu anhu gave amazing advices. He said, oh my children, oh my students, what entices you to wish for an occasion that Allah didn't make you experience? Because one doesn't know. If he was to experience that occasion, it was so difficult. It was so difficult. If one has were to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you know which side would you be? There were people who were from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. They were there, but Allah Ta'ala throws them headlong into hellfire because they didn't believe him. So, oh my students, appreciate what Allah has given you. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that you have been born as Muslims and you know your brothers and your sisters and your parents are Muslims. And others besides you were to sacrifice. What happened at that time, some would accept Islam, others wouldn't. How difficult it would be that a man would believe and accept Iman and accept Islam and know it is the truth. That Allah opened his heart towards the truth. But he knows that his brother or his father or sometimes his mother is going to go to hell because they're denying Allah. So he says, oh my students, imagine you know your whole family is Muslim. What a ni'mat. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for that. This was the understanding of Miqdad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In Ibn Majah with a sahih sanad, that there's an amazing incident that Miqdad radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and this incident is narrated by his wife. Tuba'a. So we learn from there. The husband teaches the wife a hadith. That's why let's learn hadith and the fazaili amal and the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhu in our home, my respected mothers, my respected sisters, my respected fathers, my respected brothers. Miqdad radiallahu anhu reports, and his wife narrates this to him, because her name comes into the chain of narrators here, that one day they went to the Baqi'a. Miqdad radiallahu anhu went next to the graveyard. There was a decrepit ground there, old and dilapidated, and they would go far away to relieve themselves. And he says, radiallahu anhu, that at that time we would excrete very, very, with a lot of difficulty. Sometimes small, small portions would come out from us, similar to that of a camel. Why, my respected listeners? Because that was the life of challenge and difficulty and qurbani and sacrifice. He says there was a lot of poverty. Miqdad radiallahu anhu says, then I went to relieve myself, and I saw this rat. Jurd is a big rat. It comes out of the ground, and it comes before me where I was relieving myself, and it brings a gold coin. And this gold coin, it leaves it in front of me. It leaves the gold coin in front of me. Then I continue relieving myself, and the rat returns into a hole. It comes back with another gold coin. And then the third. And then the fourth. And the gold coins continued coming until there were 17. The rat actually left 17 gold coins in front of me. I was so shocked. Then the rat went further, and it came back with a red cloth, and it left it next to me. After I had relieved myself, I took the cloth, I emptied it, and there was one more gold coin there. So there were 18 gold coins. And then I rushed quickly to Rasulullah. Allah forgive us, we'll just rush and take it home and do this or do that. He rushes to Rasulullah to ask him, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi said, Allah has given it to you. It's Allah's gift for you. O Nabi of Allah, how much of what do I have to give? You know, from this, Allah's Nabi said, go home, Allah bless you, it is yours. But I must ask you, Miqdad, radiallahu anhu, when you saw the rat emanating from that hole, did you actually follow it and put your hand further into that hole to find more? He says, by Allah, O Nabi of Allah, I didn't do so. He says, my entire life, that barakat of those coins never left me. That, it didn't finish till the time Miqdad radiallahu anhu left this world. This was the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They lived pure lives, my respected listeners. Let us also live our lives purely, cleanly, honestly. And when we are in challenges and difficulty, turn to Allah with conviction. The same Allah who helps Sahaba radiallahu anhu will help us. And also try your best. But place our trust in Allah Ta'ala with conviction that the result is not in our hands, but only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. Take few moments to read three quls for this sahabi radiallahu anhum and all the sahaba. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.